Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Galatians chapter number 6. I first had this thought a couple months back when Brother Josh Utt preached on throw another log in the fire, and I've never got liberty to preach it until today. But if you found your place, if you'd stand in Galatians chapter number 6, and we're going to start in verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Paul starts this with a warning. Be not deceived. Because the greatest deception is not what others say, it's what we tell ourselves. We convince ourselves that the small choices don't matter, that the compromises won't hurt anyone, that we can feed the flesh and still walk in the Spirit. But God says it doesn't work that way. What you reap, you will sow. What you sow, you will reap. Isaiah 9:18 says, For wickedness burneth as fire, it shall devour briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and shall mount up like the lifting of the up of the smoke. Isaiah sees the wickedness of Israel as a raging wildfire, swift and uncontrollable and devouring everything it touches. Inside every one of us, there are two fires competing for fuel. One is the fire of the flesh, and the other is the fire of the Spirit. And every day, by our choices, we decide which one gets fed. Every person is feeding something. Fire, it don't grow all at once. It grows by what you keep adding to it. A small spark fed consistently becomes a flame, and a flame fed long enough becomes a fire you can't ignore. That's exactly what Paul's talking about here. What you sow, you reap. What you feed grows, and what you starve will eventually die. Every thought you entertain, every habit you allow, every time you disobey the Holy Spirit, you're either adding fire to the fuel of the Spirit, you're feeding the fire of the flesh. The question is, which fire are you feeding? First is the fire of the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. The word stir up is what I want to focus on here. Anyone who's set by a fire knows when you take a stick and you start when it starts dying down, you start stirring up them coals, them embers. The hidden embers, and they start to change. They rise to the surface. The flame that looks like it was dying starts coming back to life. The heat increases. Nothing new is added. What was already there is just activated. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. If you're saved, you're on fire for God. The fire for God's already in you. It hasn't disappeared, and it can't be taken away, and it never will disappear. You just need to be stirred up. A fire left alone will always die down. If we want to stir the fire of the Spirit, we have to obey the Holy Spirit, even if it's uncomfortable. When I first started preaching, it still is nerve-wracking. I didn't eat lunch today because I felt sick. We have to raise our hand. We have to shout amen. Go to the altar. Stop letting the flesh get in the way. We have to worship when we don't feel it. We have to open His Word and read His Word when we don't want to. We have to worship Him when our flesh wants distraction. Stirring requires movement. It requires an effort. It requires intention. It has to be intentional. When fire is stirred, conviction comes back. The things that you were comfortable with start bothering you again. Sin you ignored starts coming to the surface. When a fire is stirred, prayer isn't forced. Worship isn't silent. The Word of God ain't just words on a page. A stirred fire burns hotter. When a fire is stirred, power returns. Power to say no to sin. Power to stand when others bow. Power to speak when fear says to stay quiet. A stirred fire. the flames become brighter and the people around you can see something that's different about you. Paul ain't telling Timothy to ask God for more fire. He's telling him not to neglect the fire that he already had. So I ask you, church, has your fire been stirred lately, or are you letting the embers die down? Second, the fire of the flesh. Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Every fire needs fuel, and so does the flesh. Paul doesn't say that the flesh is going to disappear when we get saved. It's always going to be there. He says, don't make provisions for it. The flesh is still present. It's still hungry, and it's still dangerous if it's fed. The fire of the flesh is fed when we allow our hearts, by what we allow in our hearts and our minds. What we allow to live in our mind eventually controls our actions. A thought entertained becomes a desire. A desire fed becomes a decision. Think about David when he saw Bathsheba sat bathing on her roof. Just sin wasn't a sin, but he looked too long. He let that thought take a hold of his mind. He allowed that thought to grow into a desire, and he continued to dwell on her, eventually committing adultery and murder to cover up his sin. I don't think David woke up that morning planning on doing all that. He woke up idle, and he looked too long. He entertained the thought, and what the mind entertained, the flesh demanded. What we watch, what we listen to, what we dwell on, it's not neutral. It's fuel. But the question is, what fire does it fuel? The flesh always wants more. You can never satisfy it. The more you feed it, the harder it is for you to put out. The fire of the flesh feeds on compromise, disobedience, pride, unforgiveness, that secret sin that you think nobody knows about, but God knows. Just like any fire, the more it's fed, the stronger it becomes. Think about a growing, when you start a fire and it's growing, you can hear the sounds, the crackles, the pop, the roar. You can hear a forest fire for miles. But if you're right next to it, it's all you can hear. You better be careful fueling the wrong fire, because sin can get so loud, it can become so loud that it becomes hard to heal the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. When we fail to hear His voice, warning us to turn back, that's how we drift. It's not all at once, but it's slow, but slowly, by feeding the fire of the flesh instead of fueling the fire of the Spirit. What once bothered us no longer does. What once convicts us now feels normal. Conviction doesn't disappear. It just gets drowned out by the deafening roar of the fire of the flesh. And that's a dangerous place to be. When we feed the flesh, we aren't intentionally trying to put the Spirit's fire out all at once. We just throw a little bit of water on it. And just continually, the more we do it, just a little bit more water each time. One compromise, one act of disobedience, one ignored conviction. A little water doesn't kill a fire immediately. It just lowers the flame. Each time we feed the flesh, we cool the fire of the Spirit. Each time we ignore God's voice, that flame gets smaller and smaller. Each time conviction is resisted, the heat fades. If we keep doing that over and over, we don't end up with a blazing fire anymore. We end up with a small ember. An ember still exists. It will always exist, but it no longer gives off much heat. It no longer gives off light. An ember that no one else can see. And that's the danger, because those embers don't draw people in. They don't warm anyone. They don't light the way. The Bible doesn't say manage the flesh. It says make no provision for it. You can't tame this fire. Don't compromise with this fire. You have to starve the fire. Number three, you can't feed both fires. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's simple. Every habit, every choice, every thought you entertain is feeding one fire or the other. Being neutral is a lie from the enemy. You can't build a fire while throwing water on it. There's no middle ground. We're either sowing the flesh or we're either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the Spirit. Which fire are you feeding? We don't get to choose when we'll stand before God. Every one of us is born feeding the fire of the flesh. And the Bible tells us that in the end of that fire of the flesh is death in hell. But God in His mercy, He did not leave us there. Jesus stepped into that fire for us. He took our judgment we deserved. He bore the wrath. He paid the price so that we could receive eternal life. Galatians 6 says it plainly, he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That life ain't earned by good works. It's not earned by trying harder. It's received from repentance and faith. God doesn't ask you to manage your sin. He asks you to surrender it to Him. He asks you to come to Him. Jesus paid that price for you. If you don't have the fire of the Spirit in you today, today's the day to change that. Come to the altar and ask God into your heart. That fire will be the best thing you ever do. Maybe you're here today and you're saved and you have that fire, but you've been feeding the wrong one. Don't wait. Don't reason it away. Don't throw water on the fire anymore. Today's the day to get things right.